So welcome to another Phuket List podcast with me, Nick Bramley. This is episode 4. You've heard of the bucket list? Well, this is the Phuket List, the antidote to uninspiring goal setters. Every episode, we meet a guest who's going to share with us three things they've got zero ambition to achieve or to be, and one of their natural bucket lists that they'd like to aspire to. And each episode, I share one of each, and we see where we get to. Today, I've got a great guest. He's a guy I've known for a little while. He's got a brilliant three, and he's actually got a really good bucket list as well. So without further ado, let's meet our guest today. It's Ed Purnell from The Franchised. So, Ed, welcome to the Phuket List podcast.
Nick, thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here and looking forward to getting a few of these things off my chest.
I think that's what it is. It's therapy, isn't it, for the guests, really?
Yeah, and it's just nice for me to be on a different podcast where I'm able to sort of rant a bit rather than kind of be all professional all the time, you know? So I'm looking forward to it.
Feel free to rant away. I'm just looking at the backdrop for those who are watching on video. You've got two fabulous looking guitars hanging on the wall. I suspect playing guitars not one of your Phuket lists or bucket lists, as it were, because you can do that, can you?
I guess I'm kind of halfway through that one, so it's not in either camp really, but I can play a little bit, I guess.
Excellent. I've got a mate in York who's been having lessons from the same guy for about 5 years, and he often pops around for a beer on his way back as he walks past our road end, and he's yet to play anything for me. I don't think he's learnt a thing in 5 years.
It's quite a big thing, actually, to put yourself out there in front of other people and show what you have or you haven't learned, because their expectations are you can pick up the guitar and instantly just, you know, play out 10 tunes and sing along to it and be awesome. But it's not always like that, I don't think.
Yeah, but when you go to that party where someone says, I get my guitar out, how cringeworthy is that? That is like horrific, isn't it? You don't come by ours coming anytime soon, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. I haven't learned that one yet, but maybe that should go on my bucket list.
Not at all. Well, listen, you've got three things you've got no intention of aspiring to. There's a theme, actually, Ed, but we're going to start with the first one and then we'll go through the one that you do like to look for. But the first one you want to share with us involves, they all involve a lack of adrenaline or a fact that you don't want to be adrenalized. What's the first one you've got on your list, on your Phuket list?
Well, the first one is actually swimming with sharks. And you say they're all sort of lack of adrenaline or avoiding adrenaline. I've actually been somebody who's done a lot of adrenaline fueled things and challenged myself. I've done skydives, rally driving. I'm trying to think what else.
Yeah.
Hovercraft riding.
Those two would do.
I've done
rally driving.
Yeah, I've done rapids with just a float. I've done whitewater rafting, surfing. I'll do anything. I've done kite surfing.
So what have you got against swimming with sharks then?
But swimming with sharks then. Well, they've got big teeth, haven't they, for one? And that's enough, right? But also, like, I think it's nature just in general. It's a scary thing, I think. Like, you've got no control over them. And when you're in that environment that is not designed for human beings, i.e. underwater, that then becomes an even more scary place to be. And I mean, sharks just love it, don't they? They love the water, swimming around, eating stuff. So,
well,
it just doesn't make sense to get in their environment and try and swim with them.
I was going
to
say the environment's definitely in their favor, isn't it? But even if you're in a cage, you know, you see these great whites, particularly in some of these tiger sharks that, you know, they're huge and they do attack the cages. And apparently that's really good fun if you're the guy or the lady in the cage. I don't think that looks fun at all to me, to be fair.
No, and okay, maybe that sort of thing within being within the cage is a little bit like, okay, that could at some point be interesting to me, but I've seen people that actually go swimming with like blue sharks, nurse sharks, whatever they are, and just think, no, you're gonna get bitten.
Hang on, we talk about open water swimming with sharks.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is that about? What if you've got a blue shark and a nurse shark and something other shark, the suspicion is that there's probably round the corner, if there is a corner in the ocean, you're going to have a tiger shark, a bull shark, a great white shark, because they're the ones that are going to bite your bloody arms off, aren't they?
Yeah, but people do, don't they? They go out there, swim around, trying to catch pictures of them on the cameras for documentaries, I get that, but still, That's just never going to do that. I still don't like the idea of being in a cage around a shark, but just going and swimming with sharks just doesn't seem to make sense to me.
There's something about open water. I've tried and I can't do it. I'm really quite a strong swimmer. I've always been able to swim from being a kid. I've tried doing scuba diving, but I don't like the fact that your peripheral vision's compromised by your mask and your whatever. And you have to move your head around. And if you can't see out your peripheral vision, what can't you see? And if you're in open water, everyone looks, I probably look like a beach whale, but also, everyone looks like a seal, don't they? And these things come at pace from underneath you. You can't see them. And suddenly it's like you're ripped in half by a bloody big thing with teeth, as you say. So open water shark swimming, I'll be honest with you, Ed, please don't go in a cage either, man. That's mad.
I think so. At least when you're on land, you've got half a chance of getting away from something that might bite you by climbing a tree. But where can you go in the water? You can't sort of hide behind a guppy or something like that, can you? It's just not going
to
happen.
I'll be honest with you, going back to the land reference, don't go to Alaska and take on a grizzly, because they can climb trees, by the way. So that's not a really good course of action to get away from a grizzly bear. I'll run and climb a tree, because they love a bit of that. So swimming with sharks, open water, number one, definitely not going to do. We're never going to see Ed on a documentary with his flippers and his speedos on, which in itself is, probably an horrific act.
Screw that. And to be honest, it took me until I was nearly 30 to go in deeper water than up to my shoulders, because I wasn't a very good swimmer, had perforated eardrums and all this sort of stuff. So it's only in my older age that I've actually faced that fear a little bit more of deep water and gone further out than sort of toe height, shoulder height. On tiptoes.
Swimming with sharks, only if you can touch the bottom. It doesn't really work, does it, really?
No.
Okay, your second one is something that no one should do. Literally, no one should do this. I don't know what on earth. This is classed as a sport. I don't know why. What's your second one on your Phuket list then, Ed?
Base jumping, like off of the top of a skyscraper or tall building, just jumping off with a parachute and opening the parachute instantly. Insane.
It should be called base plummeting, shouldn't it? Because you see these people, if the wind is wrong, they're going to crash against the building, aren't they? Or, how far up, who does the maths on that? The maths must be really, how far up is it before, it comes out straight away before the crosswinds get me, before I get smashed into the window. These people do it, and they do it because they love it. What is that about? Explain the... What would make someone jump off a tall building with literally a backpack attached to them? What the hell's that about?
No clue. And if you think about like the kind of that first moment when they jump, if that parachute doesn't open, that is it. There is no getting out of it. At least, I don't know, maybe if you're sort of jumping out of an airplane, you could almost direct yourself towards the sea or a river or something to give yourself a bit of a cushion landing. In the middle of a city, you're screwed, aren't you?
I'm not sure that landing in the sea at about 120 miles an hour without a parachute is going to be much different than landing on rocks. But,
I like maybe not, but I don't know. Maybe you've got semi-chance if you go in, with your feet first, and I don't know. Probably not. But
no, probably not, but at least you'd feel good except for the last second or two. Base jumping's mad, isn't it? And it seems to have become quite popular. It's like an urban thing, isn't it, on YouTube, and people do it because they're not allowed to, and they don't get permission, and they climb up or they go to the top of, like, say, world famous buildings, and they're supposed to be there as a sightseer. Suddenly if you're stood next to them as this guy or lady, it's usually fellas, isn't it, and they're usually sort of young with a ponytail and a beard, but they'll just leg it off the top, and you think you must brick yourself just being the person next to them when they do it. What? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Go on.
Sorry. I was going to say, for me, I've always been fairly afraid of heights, but like I said earlier, I try and challenge myself. So I used to be that I'd stand on top of a castle, look over the edge and feel really dizzy.
Yeah.
But at least that would start to desensitize me to it a little bit. And then I did a skydive. And that was a tandem one, so the other person had to throw me out, which is fine. And it was absolutely amazing. I'd do that again. But base jumping, I think it's just something else. I watched a video of somebody climbing up a tall building that I'd been up, and then jump off of it. This is in China, the building. And I was like, I remember being there. I felt dizzy, like looking over the edge. How on earth have they got the balls and the ability to not only look over the edge but throw themselves off with just a tiny bit of cloth that might or might not open, depending on the, like you say, the wind.
Having said that, you don't see many stories of people who have, you know, sort of plummeted to the ground in central New York or central China where it hasn't worked. So there must be quite a success record of, you know, the law of averages says they're going to get away with it, but it still doesn't. It's just that kahunas of jumping off in the first instance, isn't it, really?
Yeah, perhaps, like you say, they're all just amazing mathematicians and meteorologists. Is it meteorologists for wind? And
yeah. I think so. I don't know. Yeah, meteorologists certainly, and certainly mathematicians. You'd have to have a spreadsheet that says what the calculation risks, wouldn't you? Really. And the other thing is, you'd have to know exactly what you've been eating and what your weight is at that day, so that your parachute's, you know, going to hold you. But we'll come back to that. No problem. So you've got two things that you don't want to do: swim with sharks in open water and base jump. They're two very different, but still adrenaline issues. The third one is just mad for me. People who do this are insane, literally insane. People who do what your third one is just beyond comprehension to me. What's your third one, Ed?
See, it's potholing, and interestingly enough, I've realised that each one of these, as I've been explaining them through to you, are fears that I've had for very basic versions of them. So swimming in deeper water, never used to do that. Now I do, but now it's the sharks, the next scary thing. Base jumping, never like heights. Jumped out of an aeroplane, but I'm still not going to base jump. And potholing, a little bit of claustrophobia, not massively, not like the other two kind of phobias, but I've had it a little bit. And I went to Vietnam and went in the Chu Chi tunnels in Ho Chi Minh City. And that was me kind of going to confront that a little bit, because the tunnels, you have to crouch down. And even then, my shoulders were scraping the sides of the walls.
But the Vietnamese, by race, are quite a small nation compared to Western sort of heights and stuff, aren't they? So even for them, they would have been tight. But for a Western tall person, that would be even worse.
I'm a 6 foot. I'm more than 6 foot.
Yeah, I've been in the pyramids at Giza, and I went inside and I didn't get very far. First of all, the smell was horrific. But just the feeling of claustrophobia. I'm not particularly claustrophobic either. That, you know, and that was, I was one of 100 people going in on a coach, you know, so it wasn't exactly scary or risky or whatever it might be. So, you know, in some respect, it was fairly straightforward. But the potholing and caving bit for me is madness. It's just absolutely madness. So I don't get
there's a little bit more to add to that story, by the way. So yeah, it was really tight in my shoulders, but that morning I'd had a chicken baguette from a street vendor, and it.
Hang on, before you go any further, I think we're probably going to guess where this goes, but please feel free to share with our audience, Ed.
Well, yeah, if you're eating lunch or something like that, perhaps stop listening now and come back later. But yeah, my stomach started gurgling and churning, and you're in a line of people, and I had no way out, and kind of then, you know, panic really started to set in as to what's going to happen. And I'm trying to hold everything in so there's no smells creeping out. And it was a horrific scenario to be in. And so then thinking about potholing, just that heightens it, like just the panic of not being able to get out if something goes wrong. I'm not saying, you know, necessarily a dodgy stomach, but anything going wrong and not being able to get out, that must be a million times worse than what I experienced. So for me, nope.
I think you should replace potholing and caving with eating chicken baguettes off street vendors as a bucket list, mate, because that sounds like that was more horrific than the potholing. Have you seen the documentary about the football team in, I think it was in Vietnam, but it might have been in Cambodia, but it was certainly in sort of Far East, as it were. And they got stranded for 14 days. And the rescue, it is one of the best documentaries ever. And the guys who rescued them were awesome, but mental. Bonkers. And they were from England. The flew out from England. These guys were the best cavers and whatever. And just watching it was claustrophobic. So you're definitely not going to go swim with sharks in open water. Definitely not going to base jump. not going to go potholing or caving, but you're also not going to have a chicken baguette off a Vietnamese street vendor anytime soon.
I probably will. I'll just be a little bit more choosy about where I get it from.
Or what you're going to do for the next couple of hours after you've eaten it. That might just be the other way to really.
Okay. Oh, dear.
But on this episode, I will share one of each. I'm going to share with you my definitely not going to do my Phuket list ambition or lack of ambition. And it's nothing to do with adrenaline. It's to do with Michael Bublé. God, I'm just never, ever going to listen to, watch, see, go to see him in concert or whatever. And the reason he's come up is because he's recently on at Harewood House in Leeds near me. A week before I went to see Bryan Adams with my wife, and Bryan Adams was fantastic. And somebody said to me, oh, did you go and see Bublé as well? I wouldn't go and see Bublé if he was in my back garden, to be fair. And what's he doing out in July? They must have thawed him out, because he literally does, like Cliff Richard, just dominate Christmas. I've never seen him come out in July. So Bublé, he's just appalling, isn't it? It's like music you'd listen to in a lift.
Or with you 100%, because it's just awful sort of music, middle of the road sort of music. I don't really like the middle of the road stuff, and I expect when he goes to that concert, he's going to sound exactly like the CD. And yeah, I don't know. I everyone around here's been to see them as well. You know, I keep on seeing it popping up on Facebook, and my wife did say, because we go to see a fair few bands, she said, you know, should we go see Bublé? And she knew that I was just going to go fook off, basically. Not going to do it.
That's definitely on my chance. Bublé, seriously. And it comes around every December, and they start playing Bublé songs in shops, and they start playing them on the radio and all that. It's like, but what's he doing out in July? He must have been singing his Christmas album in July. It was blazing hot day. Just counterintuitive. Anyway, so that's my Phuket list for this week. What's on your ambition? What's on your bucket list? What have you got? And I love what you described this to me off air. What's on your bucket list, Ed?
So it's basically when you sort of trying to change your life, and you're kind of trying to do things for the better, or start a business or be self-employed or whatever, you see all these posts around of people saying you've got to visualize it and create all these bloody wanky lists. So that's what I decided to do, is create one of these wanky lists, and it's just of all the different locations that I want to go to around the world.
Okay, for those who are watching it on video, you'll see, just hold that back up again for a day. You've got a list of places you want to go to: Grand Canyon, Rome, Bali, Lisbon, San Sebastian, Bologna, Goa, Rio de Janeiro, Bogota, Buenos Aires, Krakow, Peru, and New Orleans. That's your visualization wanky list, as you call it. You mentioned you ticked one off already.
Yeah, so literally 2 days ago, came back from San Sebastian. Wanted to go there because the food, basically. Loads of pinchos and, you know, 2-3 euros for each little mouthful of food, and some nice cider and wine that they pour from a height, and great views and beaches to go on. So, yeah, that was it for me. Wanted to go there and done it.
No potholing after the pinchos, though, just in case.
Yeah, I didn't see any potholing opportunities, fortunately. Yeah, so no sharks around that part of the world either, so I was lucky.
Excellent. A lot of people have got travel on their bucket list, and it's a fairly easy aspiration these days as well, isn't it? Because the world's a lot smaller, and you know, you can get around. If you want to put up with the airport situation at the moment, then that's probably your biggest challenge, isn't it? Or, you know, you can get to San Sebastian by ferry, can't you, from Portsmouth, I think, and you know, that way. So brilliant that you've got travel on your bucket list. That's absolutely fantastic. My bucket list is an adrenaline one, actually. I'd like to do. Now, I've done quite a lot of Go Apes when the kids were younger. I've done about 4 or 5 Go Apes around the country. For those who don't know, climbing through the trees on zip wires and all that kind of thing. And I've seen recently there's a big zip wire in Wales that goes over a big quarry. I don't know what it's called. I've seen it on the TV a couple of times, on an episode of The Apprentice and that kind of stuff. And I would love to have a go at that zip wire, mainly because the adrenaline would be great. Now, a bit like you, I've got a bit of a fear of heights, but not that bad. I like the idea of being, you know, clipped on and then just zooming down at great speed across a mile and a half, I think it is, at some great height and great speed. So on my bucket list is definitely to achieve that. It's one of those where I'd have to, a bit like I said with the base jumping, have to be a bit honest about my post-COVID lockdown weight, because the last thing you want to do is get that wrong and find that you clipped onto the wrong sort of size harness or clip, really. So, you know, a bit of honesty. I might lose the holiday weight, shall we say, before I go on it.
Yeah, I feel like that's one of those things that it's fairly safe. I think I'd trust it in Wales. If you're going to go and do it in the Southeast Asia area,
yeah,
or Africa, I'd perhaps be a little bit more cautious. But
where the health and safety is not so much of an issue, maybe in other parts of the world, you suspect, yeah?
Yeah, but I think in the back of the head, though, you're always going to have that, did they check it this morning? Is there a loose bolt? Is there something that's going to go slightly wrong? Check all the clips and things like this, I guess. But I think you'd be fairly safe. And that'd be a really good fun thing to do, I think. I had my wife booked into it a few years ago, but I think COVID happened and unfortunately we couldn't go and do that. So something I'll be doing with her at some point in the future, hopefully.
Excellent. So let's quick recap. Three things you're not going to do: swim with sharks in open water, base jump and pothole. The one thing I'm not going to do is do anything around the Michael Bublé agenda at all, ever, in any way, shape or form. If he's on in a Christmas shop on the playlist when I go in, I'm coming out. I'm not buying anything from that shop while he's on. And the second one is for you, the one you definitely want to do is tick off your wanky list of places you want to go. I love that phrase. Wanky list of visualization of places you want to go to. And I'm going to try and zip wire in Wales. So listen, Ed, that's been absolutely fantastic. It's been great to have you on. It is just a little bit of fun to look at the antidote to these goal setters who get you know, all excited on social media for the clicks and likes. So if you've enjoyed the Phuket List, please remember to like and comment and subscribe. We like your support and we thank you for that. If you've got a sense of humour and you've got your own 3-point Phuket list, then reach out and get on our guest list. We'd love to have you. We're trying to build a bit of a movement, so if we can do that, that would be helpful. People who just like a bit of fun about poking fun at themselves and, you know, things that they don't want to achieve. We're currently available on YouTube, Podbean, and as of this morning, we've been approved for Spotify. There's much more we're doing in terms of the channels like iTunes and Castbox and various others are going to come along, but this episode is available on YouTube, Podbean, Spotify. And without further ado, that just goes to say thank you very much for being a brilliant guest, Ed. Thanks for sharing your Phuket list and your bucket list with us, and we'll catch you again soon.
Cheers, Nick.